Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Carla Kieskel. I'm appearing for Marco Martinez-Duran. As you know, this is an asylum case, and Mr. Martinez-Duran is seeking and was awarded by the immigration judge asylum on the basis of his membership in a particular social group, that group being Marco and his sister Kania, who reported a crime to the police. Marco, his sister, was 14 years old, living with only Marco. He was in loco parentis, and she was harassed by gangsters in Honduras, and a particular gang leader wanted a relationship with her, and when she rebuffed him, he attempted to rape her. Managed to run away, and she ran home. Her brother, with her, took her to the police station to report the crime. As a result, within a matter of hours, he was brutally assaulted by these gang members, including that leader, beaten brutally, and lost the hearing in one ear as a result of it. He and his sister went into hiding. We are saying that their particular social group is the family of Marco and Kania, who reported criminal activity as victims, as a victim and a family member, to the police.
One problem in this case is that the social group seems to keep morphing, both from the point of view of the petitioner, but also from the point of view of the BIA, because at some point it seemed to be articulated by the petitioner more broadly as a family in general, not just the two of them. But the BIA, in its opinion, seemed to ignore the family connection altogether and just talk about people who reported to the police. So which matters, and does it matter that the BIA seemed to ignore the family connection?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that that's incorrect, because the family connection, and I may note that a particular social group does not have to have any given number. Two people may form it. And there's a long history of family being recognized as a particular social group. And Marco would not have reported to the police and would not have been targeted had he not been a family member to this young girl and essentially in charge of her. So they went to the police. I'd like to dispense with a couple of issues that the government has raised, and that is that they've raised a number of cases where a particular social group was not found when people were resisting gang membership. And this is not the case here. He did resist gang membership, but that is not what led to his persecution. That is not his particular social group. The other issue is that he was not a general informant. There's a case that was raised where a particular social group was not found for people who informed to the police. In this particular case, this was a victim of a crime and a family member who sought the protection of the police, and they did not obtain it. Now, I'd like to raise the...
I suppose the question, I don't know if anyone addressed that question, but was he attacked and beaten up because he was a member of his small family, or was he attacked and beaten up because he had reported a crime to the police and the perpetrator decided to beat him up for that?
I would guess that it's for both reasons, actually, because the family connection is shown by the fact that the gangsters went through the neighborhood asking for Marco and Kania, asking for that family.
But they were the two people who were involved in the incident. So it's, I mean, if he hadn't been her brother but her friend, well, what evidence is there would have made it, what a difference?
There is not. However, I would submit that because of their particular relationship, the two of them were living alone. He was in loco parentis to her. And because of that relationship, he took her to the police to report the crime.
So he would have been beaten up even if she had gone to the police alone.
I'm sorry?
He would have been beaten up then, in your view, even if she had gone to the police alone.
I can only speculate, but I would certainly guess so, because when the gangsters were out looking for them, they beat another relative. They beat another sister's husband.
That's why I'm a little confused about why you're focusing on the two-person family rather than on the larger family, which seems like a more fruitful place to go.
That may be true. That may be true. However, I think that focusing on the two of them does not limit his remedy. I mean, I think that the two of them are the ones who fled, who were most immediately at risk and needed to go into hiding and needed to flee. As far as I know, his other sister is still there, and is remote. It's her relationship's remote enough. Mm-hmm. And if I may, I'd also like to address the social visibility element of the particular
sexual. Aren't we kind of stuck on that one, since there are a couple of opinions of this court that have accepted it?
That's true. I think that I would request that you reconsider, because I think it's beginning in 2006, it's a departure from established precedent from 1985.
But we as a three-judge panel cannot do that. Let me ask you a question about the family issue. What is your understanding at this point of the state of the law in this circuit about family as a social group? We had Thomas. Thomas went to the Supreme Court. I guess our opinion was vacated in Thomas, I think. And then went back to the BIA. As far as I can tell, nothing ever happened in Thomas again. I tried to find it. So where are we right now on family as a social group?
I think that if family is the basis of...
I'm asking what the case law... What is the governing precedent now, or is there any, in the Ninth Circuit on family as a social group?
I think it's a little unclear, to tell you the truth. I think that if we look at the history, there's a long string of cases where family has been recognized as a particular social group. Where it is now, I'm not quite sure.
I'd like to ask you some questions from another perspective. If you look at this in terms of political opinion, you're looking at the persecutor. What is the political opinion of the persecutor, in this case M13, and they see your client as a challenge to their power. He's reported them to the police. They want vengeance on this political upstart. Now, as I understand it, the IJ recognized that political ground. So you didn't have to appeal it to the BIA, and the BIA took the other position. But I think you've got a perfectly good argument that it was seen by the persecutors as having a political opinion when he challenged them.
By reporting the crime.
What's that?
Yes, by reporting the crime, that was considered a challenge.
I'm sorry, I can't hear. What are you saying?
By reporting the crime.
That's right, he was challenging them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's another line of argument.
But didn't the IJ actually rule against your client on that ground, and it was not raised? How does the
we didn't have to raise it.
I'm trying to find out is how does the rules of the immigration court work? With regard, if this were happening from a district court, you wouldn't have to take a cross appeal to raise that issue. You could defend the ruling on an alternative ground as long as you were looking for the same result. Can you do that before the BIA, or would you have had to take a cross appeal on the political opinion ground.
I'm not familiar with cross appeal in the.
Oh, appeal. Would you have had to take an appeal? Your client won on the social group ground and lost on the political opinion ground before the IJ. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. If he had wanted to challenge the political opinion denial, what would he have had to do?
It should have been appealed.
Meaning it had to be a separate appeal. He couldn't simply, in his brief.
No, he could raise the issue in his brief.
He could have raised, he didn't have to take a separate appeal.
And you can list as many grounds as you wish.
And one of the grounds could have been the IJ was wrong about the political opinion ruling. He should have upheld it. And he wouldn't have had to take a separate appeal.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
You're out of town time, and if you would like to have an extra minute or two, I'll give it to you. But you should, I mean, in rebuttal. But
thank you.
Please sit down now. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, William Minnick representing the respondent. The board found that the group at issue in this case lacked social visibility, and thus that is the only issue before the court in this case.
The board did a strange thing in a way, because it seems to me that the argument of the petitioner to the board was that the group was the family, essentially. And the board sort of recharacterized it as the group with people who report gang crimes to the police. It was the board entitled to change the argument that way?
Well, Your Honor, I think the way the group was defined in this case in the first place, it was sort of a combination of several things. And it involved reporting the crime to the police. It involved that the victim was a family member. So there are a couple of component parts to this case. And the board admittedly focused the most on the reporting the crime to the police aspect. But in doing so, it said that it was relying on matter of SEG and matter of EAG. Those cases, in turn, discussed family members. And those cases both stand for the proposition that youths who resist gang recruitment are not a particular social group. But if you actually read those cases, the claims that were raised in those cases were that their family members were being threatened because they were resisting gang recruitment. The gang members in those cases had threatened the sister of SEG, I believe, and in matter of EAG, in reciting the facts, the board notes that family members had made police reports. The shorthand for matter of SEG and EAG, we always say gang resistance is not a particular social group, but you read those cases, the board's actually talking about the particular individuals who are resisting gang recruitment and their families who are threatened. In this case, the board, citing to those cases, did capture and address the family aspect of this claim.
Not very well, would you agree? Those cases are cited for the general proposition of social visibility and not for anything having to do with families. And then when they turn to actually defining the group in this case, they talk about persons who resist gangs.
I agree with you. The board did not, specifically analyze the family aspect of the claim. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the best way to think about this group is a component of several different things. And one of them is reporting the crime to the police. This court has not squarely held that people who report crimes to the police are a social group, but it has held in two published decisions that criminal informants are not a particular social group. And we'd suggest that...
criminal informants meaning a criminal who informs or somebody who informs about crime?
I got the criminal informant from Soriano, and the informant in that case was actually a gang member as opposed to a citizen who witnessed a gang and provided information. He was actually one of the criminals who in turn informed on the police.
What is your understanding of the current state of the law about family members as a social group? Both in the BIA and here.
I mean, I think it's well settled that a family can constitute a social group. The board said that in 1985 in Acosta, and this court has said that a family is a prototypical example of a social group.
So why did we get a remand to Thomas then? I've never understood that, if you want to know the truth. But why did we?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that, Your Honor. But what Your Honor had asked about the current state of the law in the Ninth Circuit, I think an instructive case to look to, and I apologize, I did not cite this in my brief, but it's a 2004 case from this court. It's Lynn versus Ashcroft, 377 F3rd 1014. And I think that case is still good law as far as I know, and the courts in that published opinion sort of ran down the state of the law. It said this court recognizes the family as a social group, but does not automatically confer social group status on the family. And the test that the court carved out in Lynn was that in practice, this is at 1029, in practice, where family membership is the proposed particular social group supporting a claim of refugee status, that prong of the test melds with the on account of prong. And if you apply that test here, you essentially look at the record and try and make a determination of was petitioner really assaulted because he was a member of a family. And in this,
your nobly sent letter points out, nobly because it's nice to have a letter which admits a mistake, there was some evidence that other members of the family were also attacked, and other member of the family.
That's correct, Your Honor, and I apologize for mistakenly omitting that from my brief. As far as the brother-in-law, and as the court remembers, after petitioner left Honduras, within the next year, these same gang members were looking for him. They found petitioner's brother-in-law and assaulted him. As far as
suggests that even if he hadn't reported this, he could well have been assaulted. Even if he hadn't, well, no, that's not right. Well, if his sister had reported, for example, and he hadn't, I mean, that doesn't seem to be. It seems that they are after.
I think you're
family
Honor,
people.
I think, Your Honor, even though his brother-in-law was assaulted, what he can't get past in this case is the direct testimony in the record that they told him they were assaulting him because he made a police report. He testified to that four separate times over three pages in the record. Each time he specifically said, they told me they were assaulting me because he made the police report. And in light of that testimony, when you read his testimony, you just get the impression that if the victim were a friend or a neighbor, the result would have been the same, because what the gang members really cared about was that he made a police report, not that he was related to the victim. And we know that because
that then leads to Judge Noonan's question, which is, why isn't this persecution on because of political opinion?
Well, the immigration judge denied his political opinion claim and cited Elias Zacharias.
Well, what did it's very hard for me to tell what the immigration judge did. He granted asylum on what ground?
The immigration judge found there to be a particular social group and granted asylum on that basis. Okay. And denied
the BIA did address the political opinion and sort of in a sentence that it's not a ground. As I understand it, we have discretion to consider an issue that was not raised in the petitioner's brief. And we have discretion if it's manifestly unjust to ignore it, or if the government would not be prejudiced by considering it. And what prejudice is there if we send this back to the BIA to address political opinion? Because a perfectly good case can be made, as you heard me speaking to the petitioner's lawyer. A perfectly good case can be made that this was an act that was perceived by the persecutors as political challenge, and they were out to squelch it. Why would you object to that? Have the BIA consider it?
We'd rely on two things, Your Honor. First,
why would you object to it? Well, don't you want a thorough examination of the issues? You're not here just to win the case, are you?
Well, the government wins the case when justice is served, Your Honor.
That's what I would think. And isn't there a political opinion here that was suppressed by the persecutors?
Your Honor, the immigration judge found that the issue was controlled by Elias Zacharias.
It's the BIA that would address it. It's the BIA that would be reversing and sending it back to them to take another look.
He had an opportunity to have that looked at by the BIA.
Well, I know, but we have the opportunity to say, go back and look at it thoroughly. The BIA did not look at it thoroughly.
I think I would disagree with that, because the BIA looked at what the parties asked it to.
Well, they dealt with it, but they didn't just brush it off.
Well, I mean, it's controlled by Elias Zacharias, so that was an appropriate...
well,
I mean, the immigration judge,
so you
right
say, on. But that isn't what the BIA said.
Yes, sir.
But I don't understand the government, which I assume is an interest in justice.
Yes, sir.
Finding obstacles to a case, I think anybody who reads this thinks this is a sympathetic case. He came to the defense of his sister. Well, we don't give asylum on that basis, but we do give asylum if there's a dominant political group that is out to suppress challenges to its power. And I think that's what happened here.
Well, the position of the government before the immigration judge was that reporting would not be a political act. Reporting a crime would not be a political act, wasn't it?
I'm sure that was true, Your Honor, yes.
Since it wasn't raised, I guess you don't have an argument on that point, but it seems to me that one of the questions that's being asked of you is, well, is the government opposed to the position that reporting a crime is a political act, reporting a gang crime?
I believe that it's been found not to be a political act. The immigration judge cited
that isn't the point. You don't look at it from the point of view of the persecuted, but from the persecutor's view of it.
This gang was a criminal gang, or it wasn't a political. It wasn't a political group that was carrying out crimes. It was just a criminal gang.
Correct, Your Honor. It was MS-13, the MS-13 gang.
Okay. Anything else you need to tell us really important?
No, I would simply ask the court to deny the petition. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll give you a minute. I think I went a minute over. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to reply to a couple of things. Excuse me. I'd like to again make clear that the police report was to seek protection and redress.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. The police report that was made was to seek protection and redress of his sister's victimization. It's distinguishable from the cases where there are informants to the police. It's not the same situation at all. They were seeking protection. And then with regard to the gangs as a political force, the police and in the testimony, the police expressed fear of the gangs. They do control and expressed that they were concerned about the control, and it is an issue of control. And I believe that the record reflected that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. It's an interesting case. And the case of Martinez-Serin versus Holder is submitted.